The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Concerns about the safety of children on the internet are increasing, with violent and discriminatory content becoming more widespread. As a result, an online safety conference has been taking place to discuss the details of an online safety and media regulation bill. Speaking at that event was Leander Barrington-Leach, who joins us now alongside Joe Wooten from the National Youth Council of Ireland to tell us what some of the biggest threats facing young people on the web are today and how we can all keep our children safer from them. Leander and Joe, good morning to you both.
Hello, good Jonathan. Morning. Thanks for having us.
It's good to talk to you. Joe, I'm going to go to you first of all, because you're on the National Youth Council of Ireland. What was your role at this conference?
My primary role was just honestly to serve as a representative for young people and just to explain my perspective and my experiences online as a young person and how it's affected me. So the organisers of the event were amazing in that they understood that in order for the campaign to be truly successful, they had to have the real input from real young people, and that's why we were there, the whole youth panel. It was an incredible event, and I'm really grateful I got the chance to go.
So what did you tell them about your experience? I'm guessing you're going to say it's largely positive, but there are negatives in there.
Yes, you're correct. The internet is such an amazing tool. Like, it's been fantastic to be able to connect to people everywhere, whether it's just looking for other people who are interested in the same thing as you are, or finding out more, anything like that. But obviously there are some areas of it which can be very harmful and very dangerous. So for me personally, an area which I was mainly focused on was how the rise of discriminatory content online is affecting people, particularly young people who are very vulnerable and who are almost kind of being brainwashed. And I've seen it in my own like peers who maybe have seen stuff online and then repeated it back to me. And I'm like, you can't say that. That is a really awful thing to say. But they're kind of just absorbing material online. So from my own experience, I would say, as you said, it's been fairly positive, but there are some really glaring negative parts that I feel like we need to address as quickly as possible.
If we were to ask parents listening right now about online safety, it's the first thing they're going to say is stranger danger. It's about, I'm afraid that my child might end up meeting somebody online and then meet them in the real world, and that person may have a nefarious plan. Whereas what you're saying, yeah, and I think this probably chimes a lot more with young people's experience, it's not the stranger danger where you're going to be put at risk by meeting them. It's the influence that that stranger could have on how that person thinks.
Absolutely. I think that that is a far more nefarious, as you said, kind of way that it can be exploited, the internet, because it happens, you don't really see it happening. It's very malignant. And I think that it's not really thought about as much. As you said, the primary concern would kind of be, you know, people meeting up or predatory relationships. And this kind of idea of influencing people is not really thought about as dangerous when it is, can in fact just be as harmful. It's not just about discrimination and people being taught that saying certain things or acting certain ways are okay, even when they're not. It's also about the rise in harmful trends, which can affect body image and influence body dysmorphia. Like, we had a really powerful presentation done by other members of the youth panel at the conference the other day, talking about the rise in TikTok trends, which can encourage young people, especially young girls, to feel inferior in the way they look. So it's all about, for me personally, as you said, the biggest issue is definitely the influencing of young people. That is the biggest danger.
Okay, let's bring in Leander now. Leander Barrington-Leach, who's the head of EU affairs at the Five Rights Foundation. Leander, we're talking about maybe legislation in Ireland. Legislating for the internet in our country is about as useful as taking a spoon to raw turnip. It just does not work because a lot of the decisions are made not in this country, and we need a bigger stick. Is Europe the way to do this? Because we see GDPR as something that actually did have an impact on the internet. So instead of Ireland going it alone and France going it alone, the European Union has to lead this charge.
Jonathan, indeed, you're right that the internet doesn't know any borders. But that also works both ways. As you said, GDPR, for example, at the European level has set a global standard. Other laws such as the Age Appropriate Design Code in the UK, which uses data rights based on GDPR to protect children, has again led to global changes. So I don't think that Ireland should hold back and think that that by legislating nationally, you can't make a difference. You can. There's a global trend at the moment, and indeed important laws, very far-reaching ones being discussed at the European level. But it is a global trend, and all of these initiatives, the different countries are building on each other and can strengthen each other.
How much of an issue is this, the service providers? So the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the TikToks, that they are so big at this point that they cannot moderate themselves. They cannot effectively protect young people. And as a result, there has to be a state intervention.
Indeed, I think the main issue is the systems. So as Joe was saying, it is about the recommender systems and the way they are pushing harmful material, sometimes illegal material. And this is due to the business models of these companies. Now, trying to moderate it through, indeed, content moderation is just an impossible way to go. The systems are not designed with children's rights in mind, and they need to be, if necessary, redesigned or features removed or rethought through in order to ensure children's rights. Children's rights pre-existed the development of these platforms. They are set out in the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. They are applied in other laws, whether it's regarding our education systems, our medical and health systems, etc. We have integrated these children's rights into our national laws. We need to do so also for the digital environment, in order to ensure that these existing rights are upheld.
But it's okay, it's a rights issue, but at the same time, it's actors on these social media platforms who know they will get away with putting up something that will get past the moderators that could have an impact on a young girl who's worried about her weight. It could have an impact on a person of colour when they see negative things that are racist written about them and portrayed as mainstream. It's not the rights of the child that is the issue. The issue is the perpetrator getting away with it.
There is a question of bad actors, but there will always be bad actors and there will never be a risk-free environment. The real problem is that these systems are designed with commercial interests in mind, commercial interests that are prioritized above, among others, the best interests of the child. And they are pushing, they are promoting, as Joe was saying, this material. The Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen has testified recently in the US, in the UK, in the European Union, also about how, for example, the weighting of these recommender systems weights negative anger material 5 times heavier than it does positive content. So it's not about the freedom of expression. I mean, if you want to say something horrible, it's going to be difficult for content moderators to stop one person from saying something horrible. The problem, the real problem, is how the systems are designed to increase the reach of this material, and it is this that does the major damage.
Yeah. A listener in Limerick got in contact with the programme. They said, it's simple, Jonathan. Just put it into law that you have to be over 16 to have a smartphone. Full stop. If the politicians have the will, it can be done. To hell with the massive phone manufacturers. My daughter has been harassed online and at school by a 13-year-old. She's also 13. So the thing is, when you put the smartphone into the hands of a child, therefore the likelihood of abuse increases as a result. Joe, if I can ask you about that. The idea of kids having smartphones, this is an argument that happens in so many different households. And parents then feel guilty if their child is influenced by something that they've seen online, because they feel as if they're then responsible for giving the smartphone. But the child wants the smartphone and feels it is a right to have a smartphone. It's a hard thing to balance, isn't it?
It is. And it's a really, really tricky topic. And I'd also like to emphasize the fact that I am a young person. I only see one side of the equation, you know. But for me personally, I do think that smartphones can have such a negative impact on young people, but they can also be so positive in helping young people find themselves and find others like them as they grow up and as they find out their own identity. So once again, one of the members of the youth panel spoke about his own experience and how he, as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, was able to find others like him and how much of a lifeline that was to him when he was struggling to find himself out. So it is a really hard thing to balance, but on a baseline, I do think that young people should be allowed to have smartphones, and I think it should be up to the social media platforms to regulate it themselves so that young people can feel safe on those platforms and parents can feel safe letting their children on those platforms. I think that it should be up to those companies, and I do think that kids should be allowed to have smartphones because it's such an amazing tool for them. It's just not being used right at the moment. But that can change, and that's what this campaign is aiming to do.
A realization I had just in the last couple of weeks was the level of climate anxiety amongst young people. I didn't even realize it was a thing. Yes, I'm anxious about the climate, but they're way more anxious because of things that they've been exposed to on social media. And it's great because it's motivated them, but at the same time, it's creating a level of anxiety. That's not the nefarious actor hanging around in the background trying to make you feel bad about your weight. That's something that you can't control or do much about as an individual, but you're taking the weight of that on.
Yeah.
There's no legislation can really stop that, Joe, is there?
No, it's really rough, yeah. Like, for me personally, when I think about safety online, when I think about stuff like that, what I would always recommend is if you're viewing content which makes you feel in any way negative, or if it affects your mental health adversely in any way, I'd advise you to always take a step back, just take a breather, and just remember that your own well-being comes first. Like, I've been in that position where I've had so much bad news thrown at me, especially during the start of the COVID pandemic, when all it seemed was just constant reporting of cases. And it did have a toll on my mental health. And what I did was I simply went offline for a couple of days, and I came back and I felt much better. So for me, it's not about legislation, that issue. It's about just letting young people know and letting everyone know that if you're seeing something online that's worrying you or stressing you out, just to take a step back for a minute and to come back.
Okay. Leander, if we can go back to you on this, Ireland has an opportunity to become a bit of a leader here, has it, with this particular bill to set effectively a low watermark for companies?
Yes, indeed. The fact that you're discussing these issues in detail already makes Ireland a front runner. That means that Ireland can set an example for other jurisdictions. That means that Ireland can influence the debate at European level. And indeed, as we discussed before, set a low watermark. So you set a benchmark whereby to which all companies would need to abide. And most likely, they're not going to do it just for consumers and children in Ireland, but much more broadly.
OK, Leander Barrington-Leach, Head of EU Affairs at Five Rights Foundation, and Joe Wooten, National Youth Council of Ireland representative, and a teenager, by the way, just in case the people didn't realise. At what age are you, Joe? I think you're 17, is that right?
I am 17, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't string two words together when I was 17, so you're doing great. thanks so much for joining us on the line this morning.